This is the Drive with Tim Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. It's Pipes and Kyle the rest of the way. It's all right, not unfamiliar territory. No shot at Lante there. But quick text here from Wade. Curious, is there an actual Atlanta Inquirer 24/7 office? There is not. No, it is home office based for myself, Jeremy, and Joey, and the office is often...
I've seen your office set up.
Yeah.
Looks pretty nice.
It's pretty good. I appreciate that. My wife helped get that thing done. And yeah, I'm there in one of the back bedrooms. Mostly the office is on the road or at an event, at an arena, so at a press conference. And that's how that goes. Where should we dabble next?
How much was your phone in use the last 24 hours?
Crazy amount. I mean, we were prepared for this.
We should do the screen time exercise you during portal season.
Yeah.
Where you read off the screen time and how much is spent on the phone app or messages.
It's funny. I'll get an update that said, your usage was down 8% this week. And I'm like,
20 hours.
Yeah, I'm like, really? It felt like I was on the phone all the time. That's just kind of how it works. But we were kept up to speed on Orlando. This has been something that we felt like was going to happen for the last few weeks, I'd say. I said it earlier in the show that when the name first surfaced, and I'll give credit where credit's due, Jeremy was the first one to hear that name as an option, and then we dug into it. I was very skeptical at first, but as you talk to more people and kind of did the due diligence behind the scenes, it seemed like there was real interest there on both sides, obviously. And doing some of the homework afterwards, or just trying to ask questions about what really went down. I know there was reports, and we talked about it when it was going on, when O was still at Kentucky, that there was maybe interest for him to stay there, even if it was from his family side, which I imagine there was probably some level of that because they are really rooted there in Lexington and really like it there. But I didn't get the sense that there was probably a real chance that was going to happen. I believe that Mark Pope was all right with a clean slate and turning the whole thing over. And while he respected O, it sounded to me like he was at peace with moving on if that was the direction he was going to go, and that O probably went to that meeting already knowing that he was going to Illinois, as far as I understood it. So that's just kind of where it was at. I don't think that the allure to Arkansas, because there wasn't the family draw with some kind of nostalgia or some kind of just community they were well entrenched in, or that the daughter was going to school at, that wasn't at play. Not saying that Cal and O haven't had a long standing relationship and they've had a lot of success together, even though they've been under fire here recently at Kentucky, that it just wasn't something that I think that was super appealing. Maybe this different story if Illinois wasn't there with open arms and saying, we got a spot here. Maybe O ends up at Arkansas ultimately in that sense. But I think it just was a situation where timing helped Illinois. I'm not saying it was an absolute have to if Cal didn't leave, because that would be really interesting. And I know this would be an exercise that we have no idea how it would ultimately have played out. I do think it would have been trickier to pull off if you were to try to steal him when Cal was still at Kentucky, but they would have been in a no doubt on the chopping block, make or break year this past year. And there was a lot of pressure. And I think that some of that wore on obviously Cal and that program. And I feel like that there was communication or just inklings, feelers that were put out from O's side to Illinois and vice versa before Cal was even on the move. So I think that was something that the interest was already there. And then once Cal was gone, and on to Fayetteville, that the momentum was rolling pretty heavy after that.
Yeah, it feels like there's been a lot of rockiness with that whole Kentucky Calipari operation the last couple of years. And so I'm not all that surprised that I'm honestly surprised that the rest of his staff is following him there. Chin Coleman and whoever else was on it. I don't know. It felt like there was some tension there, some visible tension with that Kentucky operation here recently. And obviously you've seen that with, like you said, the pressure that was building there, but it does make me proud, or I don't know what the right word is, but to be able to be an attractive enough destination to pull a guy like Antigua away from a coach like Calipari in a situation where we've already heard what the NIL numbers are and that mm-hmm. Jerry Jones is saying we'll double anybody's NIL salary to bring players here. Like, to be able to still have that type of appeal where any other coach, where a coach like Calipari's going to this new situation, is going to say, come with me. It's place like Illinois 5 years ago, probably even when Orlando was first hired, probably not a situation where he has any interest. So it's pretty cool to be able to pull that off and to make a move like that. Like Jeremy was saying, you're acting like a blue blood. You're acting like a big time program, being able to pull in a guy like him. And I'd imagine, I'm sure you know better than me, you'll be paying him pretty handsomely.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And they were prepared to do that back in 21 when Kentucky came calling and was trying to get him. And I think if he would have taken the deal with Illinois in particular, and it might have still been the case going to Kentucky, his base salary this past year was $900,000, retention bonus in the $400,000 to $500,000 range. So I think it was four, but making about 1.3 if he would have stuck through that. I think Illinois was offering him over $1 million to be here. I don't know who else out there. Admittedly, that I don't think those are as easily trackable as you can type in head coach salaries in college basketball, and usually the USA Today list comes up. Brad Underwood's sitting there at eighth nationally, making around $5 million a year. I don't know what the assistant pool looks like. I imagine there's some that are upwards and close of $1 million a year. There might even be one or two or three, again, don't know for certain, that are past that threshold or are right up against it. But I would think that with this move is going to be in that elite tier, if not in the top of the mountain of assistant coaches as far as their salaries go. So the fact that Josh is willing to pour the resources in to get that thing done, the fact that Illinois has the support that they do from the alumni base, from the donors that are so fully committed to making this a program that's winning and will continue to win. And I think that this is just, not to go on a soapbox or that's not the right thing to say, but not to completely rabbit hole this as far as how do you feel about the portal and whatnot. It's the number one, the reality is this is what it is, the crazy freedom of movement and all of that. But this only further prepares Illinois to thrive in this current environment, because you have the NIL, you have the appeal of a program that is nationally relevant, that is proven to be consistent enough to cycle in and out all Americans and Kofi and Io, and then go and have a guy like Terrence and to win a Big Ten title after Io left, and to go to an Elite Eight after both Io and Kofi were gone, and now Terrence is going to be gone, and we'll see what they do next. They're obviously out and active and loading up the roster again. So I think that this just further solidifies, while some people hate it, while Tom Izzo hates it, while there's a lot of programs out there that don't have the resources, don't have the want to, don't have the patience to deal with, this guy we recruited and now he's gone, and just completely get frazzled by all of it. I think Illinois has been one of the beneficiaries, and they're armed to continue to be one of those, especially with a guy like Orlando on staff.
I would be shocked if there was another non-blue blood program that had a recruiting assistant duo better than Tim Anderson and Orlando Antigua. I mean, that is, in terms of just bringing talent to Champaign, that's about as good as you could possibly do.
You'd think so. TA's got a really good resume, obviously, here with Terrence at the very top of that. Merez.
Some of the guys he was getting to DePaul were unbelievable.
Yeah. Speaking of, should we? No, never mind. We'll wait on that.
I do want to ask, though, I know what you're alluding to. We don't have to talk about that, but I do want to ask you what you think could be next. Where is Orlando Antigua going to start now that he is officially a member of the staff?
It's a great question. I think that they, of course, need a five-man, and they've made that a priority to get some rim protection for certain, to get Merez Johnson some help down low. Now that you have Dane out of the mix and Coleman likely on the move, I'd be very surprised as of now if Coleman returns, even though he is trolling people on social media here recently. And I kind of, like you just did, shake your head a little bit. But, you know, Coleman, he likes to have fun. And look, I made the joke to somebody today that they're like, oh, yeah, you know, he likes the attention. I was like, well, you know, so did Sincere, and Coleman's got a little bit more of a rep or a deserving right. nature of that than some of Sincere's tweets and then deleted tweets.
Hey, we had some, there was some West Virginia versus Illinois back and forth on Twitter this weekend. Chester Frazier getting a little spicy there.
He did.
With his, well, I forget what was the...
The Denzel Washington.
Yeah, yeah. I'm leaving here with something.
I'm leaving here with something. It was funny. I mean...
I'm all for all this stuff. I know people got mad at it. Yeah. I think it was great.
I appreciate it too. And anybody was crazy to think that. I know some will take it to tampering. Oh, he poached them. Oh, how dare he do that to his alma mater, steal some of their talent. Number one, Illinois was recruiting over those guys. Number two, not to say that they. I think in particular Imani, they felt like he could have been in the mix in the front court. Now, I talked a lot about, I think that Kerry Booth is a little bit more of a natural fit with Merez. But even as Illinois would go out and get some talent, that's not to say that the guy that isn't there already isn't going to say, you know, whoa, 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 okay, you like this guy in the portal. You like this shiny new toy and what he can be. I'm still here. I'm going to beat him out for minutes. And that could fully have happened with Imani just taking the steps necessary to be a four-man and shoot it well enough, or say, yeah, I'm 6'7", but I'm going to compete like heck in the paint at the five and give you some good minutes there. I'm just going to maybe not slot into a natural position, but for a coach that's talked a lot about positionless basketball, I'm going to be someone that you want on the floor. That could have happened. That could happen for Imani. So I think that that's something that is taken into account. But at the same time, Imani – was seriously considering Illinois and picked Illinois largely because of Chester Frazier and that relationship. That's just the way that recruitments go.
Well, I mean, since you're Harrison Imani Hansberry committed to Chester Frazier's new program within like 4 days.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, you know, that you could tell how that relationship was.
So I think that's more about the relationship than it is like, oh, well, Chester did something unsavory here and poisoned the well at Illinois and told him that, you know, they didn't want to play for Brad or whatever. They followed the guy they were closest to on the staff, and it is what it is. I hope that Chester has success at West Virginia. I like Chester a lot. I have a lot of respect for him as a coach. It's just, I do think that from a fit standpoint and just the way that it's going to pan out, I think the move for Chester was beneficial for him and could be. I mean, he's an associate head coach there, and maybe DeVries is going to be more in line with how they want to build it versus Brad here, maybe more portal oriented or offensive oriented or however it's going to go. And then they get Orlando Antigua as part of the trade-off. So it seems to have worked out, obviously, for both parties. And I'm all here for that social media, whatever you want to call it, game that's out there. Coleman's milking this a little bit. I don't think he's coming back. I know he's kind of hinted at, well, you know, I was looking forward to, or I didn't want to play at the Oregon court anyway, and now I don't have to. And he's just.
But then there was also the who's the number one player in the portal? Might it be me?
Yeah.
Anything, honestly, any rumor I would possibly hear about Coleman, I'd be like, I don't believe that because he probably was trolling somebody when he said it.
Yeah, right. We'll see what he ultimately ends up doing, but. In the meantime, so to circle back, yeah, at the five spot, I admittedly, this guy's not in the portal, but I have my eyes on him because he's an Antigua recruit, a guy that he coached in Kentucky this past year, and that's Ugana Onyenso, 7-footer. I said that, you gave me the nod of approval. I think I said
got
that.
It.
I think I said that right. Shot blocker extraordinaire, one of the best shot blockers in the country last year. Didn't play a crazy amount of minutes. but averages about 3 blocks per game and is just an eraser.
His per 40 blocks per game per 40 minutes, 6.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he had a game in the SEC where he had 10.
Oh, my God.
So he's somebody that just long and athletic.
Take him.
Yeah, he's projected by ESPN in the mid-second round for a reason after only averaging, what, 4 points a game?
Yep.
So I think that offensively there's probably more to tap into. Orlando recruited him. He only played, I think, half the year, maybe a little bit more last year, dealt with an injury in the first month or so. But if he does go in the portal, there's a natural connection there, and I think that it would give Illinois what it needs in a rim protector and a little bit more experience and also depth in addition to Mares.
What can you tell me about Ben Humrickhouse? That's the guy I'm intrigued by. I don't know much about him.
Mm-hmm. From Evansville, 6'9", played 3 years of NAIA prior to going to Evansville and just shot the lights out this past year, 42%, I believe, from three. Very, very good catch-and-shoot guy, can make buckets off the dribble, too. Just super skilled and so capable offensively. Defensively, you have questions because he's not the best athlete, and you wonder about him defending in space on the perimeter.
What position would he play?
I think he's a 4.
Okay.
I think he's a 4 who I doubt he plays. I've talked about this, and some have wondered, like, could he play a little bit of small ball 5? I've heard that from people, but I don't – until I see it, I don't know.
Boy, if he had problems defensively with Coleman at the 5, that probably wouldn't go great.
You'd have to do it against a team that you don't worry about their 5 men. Hey, if I'm playing Michigan State last year and – Matty Sissoko's out there, I'm fine rolling out and saying, all right, Ben Humrickhouse, guard him. He's not going to score on you anyway. You could, outside of allowing him to just power dribble into a dunk, if you make him make a move, he's not probably going to make it. But, yeah, I think that would be an issue, obviously, rim protection-wise. On the, if he played the 3, I'd worry about him defending in space and having to guard a wing that's athletic and that type of thing. So I think the 4 makes the most sense. And some of the way you could maybe cover some of the things up defensively is if you have a rim protector on the back end at the 5, if you have an athlete with him at the forward spot, like a Trey White, I think, or a Ty Rogers, that could help you kind of pick some matchups to hide him a little bit. And I'm not saying that he's like planted in cement, but he's just not the most athletic of guys, especially laterally with his quickness. But he reminds me some of Marcus Damask, honestly, coming from the Valley. Being a skilled forward with size and more than just definitely not a one-dimensional player, can do some things with the ball in his hands, can booty ball some. I know maybe the passing that Damask had this past year out of post-ups, I haven't seen as much of it. Now, I think he averaged a decent assist rate, but definitely likes to back some people down at 6'9". And I know they just love his offensive potential and how you can play through him or as him being a secondary option as a catch-and-shoot piece. So I'm very high on him, and I think he would have – if we didn't have the Luke Goody news today, if Illinois landed Ben Humrickhouse, I think that would have been another guy or just definitely a highlighted guy. He would be in direct competition with Luke for minutes, and I would understand Luke's decision. I understand it today, but even – after that, where Illinois is about to bring him in on a visit. He's just been at Louisville, and I was told he's going to Nova. I haven't seen him tweet anything about that, but I'm told he's going to Nova before he arrives at Illinois midweek.
Boy, every single transfer Illinois wants is going to make a visit to Louisville, I guess. I mean, do they have the budget for all these visits? I mean, how many? My goodness.
I heard their budget is nuts. Yeah. I heard they got a lot of NIL money. Now, they didn't win out in Dante Maddox.
That's right.
I wonder what the number was. I never heard it on what Xavier threw at him. And, you know, Sean Miller's a coach that I'd want to play for sure. What's crazy is Xavier then turned around and got Ryan Conwell, right, from Indiana State.
That's quite the backcourt. I know they lost their one other wing, Desmond Claude. But
Yep.
Boy, yeah, Conwell flew under the radar. That was a guy that was fantastic. That was probably the best of the Indiana State bunch, in my opinion.
Could really shoot it.
And Xavier just kind of scoops him up. I thought maybe he could go to a bigger program than that. But, Yeah, Rickhouse, I mean, you need shooting. I mean, you need to add shooting to this roster now, even more so. Luke Goody's gone. You have Boswell, who you can trust as a high level shooter, but outside of that, you look through, you project Kerry Booth to be a plus shooter. He shot 29% last year. You still got to see that. Ty Rogers is non shooter. Dre Gibbs Lawhorn didn't shoot well last year. I think he probably will end up being a pretty good shooter. And obviously, you got Merez Johnson, and you need shooting. I mean, Trey White shot 29%. And so to have a guy who you can trust, even, I know you said he has a lot more to his offensive game, but you know, at the very least, the floor is he's going to make shots for you. And I think a guy with some positional size that you can play at a couple different spots that you can rely on to shoot and space the floor is something that I would welcome as one of these final four. Is there four scholarships still open now with Luke?
Okay. Yes.
I would welcome anybody who can make a three for me. That's a big need for this roster right now.
Yeah, stud wing, five man, and then shooting, I think, are the three priorities. And then maybe there could be a best available piece. Maybe it's a sense of leaving a spot open too. You're not going to have 13 guys who are going to play next year, obviously. Now, Jason Jackson is fully expected to be a deep bench guy, probably redshirt. That's what I've heard. On him as a freshman. Nico and Dre, I mean, there's not a backup point guard right now outside of that group that we just mentioned. So maybe one of those guys you'd hope. I'd really be hoping that Dre can make a year two jump and maybe be ready for some of that. Jake Davis, I don't think will play a ton in his first year. Now, he's a shooter too, but someone that will only be a sophomore making a jump from Mercer. And he also has some defensive questions as well. So one of the best shooter in the portal is Kobe Brea from Dayton, who O has some connections to. I'd been told that, he knows the family pretty well and had actually played professionally against Brea's dad in the Dominican. But and while he made some contact while still employed at Kentucky, he'd then work it at Illinois. But it's been reported today that one seems to be down to five as of right now.
Good luck with that list.
And that five is just name the blue bloods in college basketball: UConn, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, and Kansas, right?
Mm-hmm. Talk about releasing a top five as a transfer, and it's the top five programs in the country. Yeah, this is my list. I'm just deciding between Kentucky and Duke, maybe UConn, just the two-time defending champs. Yeah, good luck, Orlando. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
I don't think you're getting into that one.
It's probably not going to happen. He should just go to UConn. I mean,
he would be incredible there. I mean, just a seamless Cam Spencer replacement.
Yep. And the way they run actions and get guys' shots, I mean, that makes all the sense. And his parents are from the Dominican. He's from the Bronx, the New York area. So going back to the East Coast.
Wouldn't be terrible, Kentucky either. Mark Pope runs an offense predicated on getting those threes up and runs a lot of action too, and they don't have a lot of guys currently. He could be kind of a featured offensive piece there. You can't go wrong with that list, right? I mean, just put them all in the hat and pick one, and you'll be playing a top 10 team next year. So
yeah, he's not going to have an issue of whether he's wanted by any of those. I mean, when you shoot 50% from three on 200 some attempts at Dayton, like, he's got an elite trait.
It is crazy that he barely started for Dayton.
I know.
It's got to be the first time ever that a guy who didn't start in the A-10 is wanted by every blue blood. But, I mean, the shooting numbers speak for itself. I don't know what the Dayton coach was doing, putting him on the bench. But
yeah, I think he was back-to-back, definitely this past year, but maybe even back-to-back A-10, sixth man of the year. But I don't know. I don't know what the deal was there. I know a name that somebody's brought up, admittedly, on the message board today and asked me on the five-man note, because I think Orlando's got some ideas. It might take some time to have some things unfold and see what opportunities present itself. Of course, around the country, you hear buzz of, hey, I'm hearing this guy might go in the portal, but do they actually make that move and go in? I think that we'll see. Okay, sorry. I saw a Marcus Damask tweet. I got a tweet notification.
I'm back.
It started with, unfortunately, the rumors are true. And then I was afraid that it was going to be him having his waiver denied, but no, he just laid to rest his Bonnie, his old car. False alarm, my bad. Where was I? Cliff Amore, big man that O-recruited while at Illinois, has similar ties and circles that he comes from as Kofi Coburn. Really good Big Ten big man, especially as a shot blocker, rim finisher, but not much as a developed back-to-the-basket guy. He really has kind of just tailed off, or I wouldn't say tailed off, he's kind of plateaued as far as his development offensively, I feel like. But there was an article released today, USA Today, that has him slotted to take some visits coming up. You got Kansas State, Alabama, and Georgetown. And then they're citing a source saying that North Carolina and UCLA are also possibilities. So as it stands right now, I imagine he's going to come with a – now, there's no St. John's on that list. What the heck happened here?
I thought he was like going to commit to St. John's the first night.
That's what it seemed like. Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to maybe do some more digging on that one, but I'd imagine he comes with a very high price tag, and I haven't heard anything admittedly from any of the sources that I have that Illinois is making a run there. So
you'd have to imagine that Illinois wants to buck up the most possible money for whatever wing is going to be their top target. That is, they want a go-to scoring wing. And so, in terms of a five-man, I know you obviously want somebody, but it's unlikely that you'd probably go after, like, the biggest fish out there. Because you still want to have, you still want Merez Johnson to have a big role, and you probably want to save up some of that NIL budget for the wing spot.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case for sure. And I would say, as you think about it, I don't know how much of their budget they've spent up to this point.
Yeah.
And I'm not claiming to know all of what some of these ads cost.
And have to come up with round two of our budget game.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, we were giving AJ Store a mil, right? Or 750 at least. And he's off the board. I think a wing in that range would certainly still be at play for sure. I wonder what Kylan Boswell got, admittedly. I've had that thought. I don't know it for a fact. How much would he be worth to you? Now, this is pure speculation, and maybe it's even dumb to have it because we don't know. We weren't inside there, but
he'd probably be worth up to half a mil, I would say.
I mean, Kirk Kariza apparently got half a mil to go to West Virginia last year, and I think he's better than Kerr is, right?
Maybe
350.
Yeah, maybe half a mil if you're good this year, you come back the next year, and we'll keep increasing it. Maybe you start at like 300 and say, you know, we will only goes up from here if you perform.
No, I like that for sure. Jake Davis, no offense to him, I wouldn't imagine he commanded a lot. Kerry Booth probably doesn't need the money. I mean, his dad's the GM of the Nuggets. So not to say that people who come from families of wealth don't still want to be compensated and whatnot. But, yeah, I don't know. And as far as the returners go, you don't have a lot to have to allocate there other than probably Ty Rogers. And I would assume that Dre and Nico are getting something certainly to stay satisfied with this. A 6-5-1 before we catch a break on the U of I Atlanta League text line. Hear me out. Cliff at the 5. He says hummus at the 4. I'm going to imagine that's some Rickhouse at the 4. Coleman at the 3. What a front line.
Oh, boy. We might have to have that hummus nickname stick if we get him. I like that.
Hummus. Coleman definitely doesn't want to play the 5. He made that very, very, very
Coleman
clear.
Coleman at the 3.
Coleman's not playing the 3.
Talk about really trying to showcase yourself to the NBA.
No, he's not playing the 3. That's, now, he can move on the perimeter.
He could guard 3s. I mean, he wouldn't be terrible doing that. He's proven that.
I mean, hypothetically, could he play the 3? He shot it pretty well last year. I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
it would be Illinois basketball's version of the barge formation that Brett runs. It'd be, we're just going to put every big guy on a roster on the floor. Coleman's at the 2. We got Merez at the 3 and Humrickas and Onyenso is here. And
yeah.
hey, Jax Deese, come on. We said we were going to redshirt you, but we need a point guard.
It's too bad Dane left because he showed in transition. Was that the Iowa State game or the UConn game where he tried to go behind his back? I think it was the Iowa State game.
Yeah,
right?
It didn't go too well for him, but hey. He tried it.
He did. He did. No, Coleman playing on the perimeter, defensively, like switching and that kind of stuff. I mean, he guarded successfully at times. Boo Booey, Tyson Walker, and we even had to factor in the fact that, you know, he had a knee that really plagued him as well. But no, again, no expectation as of right now that Coleman will be back. Humrickhouse, I like Illinois' chances right now. Cliff, I don't know about that one. So keep weighing in. 217-359-2255. Portal or not, hit us up. Let us know your thoughts, some questions. Got to catch a break. We'll be back. This is the Drive.
Coming Saturday, June 22nd, it's the Cardinal Bus Trip, brought to you by Route 66 Solar. Yes, join us for a beautiful day in St. Louis as we take on the San Francisco Giants. For information about our suite and all the beverages and food that are included, and a wonderful motor coach from Timmy Tours, simply text in BUS to 217-359-2255. Join us Saturday, June 22nd for the annual Cardinal Bus Trip from ESPN 93.5.
Better banking experiences start with local people and local decision-making. Hi, this is Ryan Heiser, President and CEO of Fisher National Bank. We are a locally owned community bank that has served the area since 1955. Fisher National is rooted in the communities we serve. We pride ourselves on providing financial resources that match or better the mega banks. We are your friends and neighbors who are involved in your communities and take a vested interest in seeing our customers thrive and prosper. Offering a line of rewarding consumer-centric deposits, home mortgages, small business banking, and agricultural lending. There are no compromises banking local with Fisher National. Our convenient online and mobile tools are second to none. We'll work hard to meet your financial needs and earn your trust. Learn more about Fisher National at fishernational.com or stop by one of our branches. Our team looks forward to serving you.
Fisher National Bank. Exceptional communities, exceptional people. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands from Lands Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Underground Solutions. Are you tired of dealing with leaky faucets, basement flooding, bursting or leaking pipes? From plumbing maintenance and repairs to installing new water heaters and sump pumps, our goal is to get you up and running as soon as possible. At Lands Plumbing, we have 24/7 emergency service and a team of highly skilled professionals that will work with you to get the job done right the first time. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
And now, Kelsey Briggs, owner of Salon 105 in Mahomet.
We have a luxury destination salon located out here in central Illinois, and we have stylists here for everybody and any need. We have a very wide range of stylists that can cover any needs. There is somebody that can provide any services from a perm to a balayage to extensions and everything in between. Every stylist that works here is certified in Bello Haven hand-tied extensions, and we do a lot of education. We bring in high-level educators from all over the world and invite local salons to come out here and learn. So not only do we welcome clients here, but we also welcome other stylists or salons in the area to come and learn.
To book your appointment at one of the premier salons in central Illinois, go to salon-105.com. That's salon-105.com.
It seems like the cost of everything is on the rise, but Erie Insurance can help make sure your auto insurance premium isn't one of them. Avoid rate increases with Erie Rate Lock. Even if you have a claim, your rates won't go up until you change your car, driver, or address.
Your Erie agent in Champaign is Thomas and Eller's Insurance.
Erie Rate Lock is not available in all states. Other conditions and limitations at erieinsurance.com. Go to erieinsurance.com for company licensure and product details.
As Tapman's Towing celebrates 50 years of serving Central Illinois, we're always seeking good people to serve our great customers. Our team of expert tow professionals would like to interview others with CDLs, previous tow experience, or a strong interest in serving others. If you enjoy serving people, love working in the outdoors, and looking for a career, not just a job, we should talk soon. Do you have a strong desire but lack the experience? We should still talk. Visit our career page at tapmanstowing.com.
At Pards in Urbana, the boots just keep on coming. They're known for their huge collection of men's cowboy boots, women's cowgirl boots, kids' boots, and even shoes. If you're searching for top footwear brands, look no further than Pards. They carry a wide variety, including Ariat, Dan Post, Smoky Mountain, Roper, Double H, and more. And if socks or accessories are what you need, they've got all your high-quality essentials. Since 1968, Pards has been serving their customers with high-quality merchandise. And if you haven't been to Pards in a while, a lot has changed. Go check them out just off University Avenue in Urbana.
Here's another home improvement insight from Kramer Siding and Window, a proud member of Prairie Home Alliance. A new front door can instantly upgrade the look of your home and make it more energy efficient. The Kramer Siding and Window team can also install French doors to your deck or patio, welcoming the outside in, or storm doors for an extra layer of protection against the elements. The estimate is free, financing is available, and the business is local. Schedule your beautiful new door today and save 25%. Call us, click on KramerSiding.com, or visit the showroom in Champaign.
How are we going to talk about when the portal's closed and the dust is settled?
Talk about how the Cubs blew their 77th save of the season by then.
And I'm still waiting for the Cardinals to score a run of run support for Sonny Gray, who was spectacular yesterday.
Who would have thought that the Cardinals would have the same record as last year at this time, but it would be because their offense is one of the worst in the league. I wouldn't have predicted that. Tell you that much.
Neither would I. Nope.
Does that give you any like I know it's dumb, but like the fact that it can't be this bad of an offense all year, right? Like Paul Goldschmidt's not gonna hit 120 the rest of the year.
No, I'm not worried about Paul Goldschmidt.
Feels like there's a chance that it offense all of a sudden gets hot, some of these guys at the same time, and the Cardinals could kind of go on a little run here. I don't know. You've watched them more than me.
I'm concerned about a guy like Jordan Walker, where he's going to take the next step this year. I'm not out on him as a guy that's, 21 years old and has a lot of ability, but the slow start does concern me some. Again, like we had the conversation, I think, last week that finished the season around 275, bordering 280, I think, on the year. Definitely in the 270, 275 range, 18 home runs for a rookie that ended up getting sent down, came back, and on the whole, had a pretty darn good season. So I think it's just the frustration that the Cardinals have been in last place for like a calendar year, which is crazy. And I know that a lot of franchises have been in that position longer in some instances, but it's just kind of the boiling over disappointment and frustration. And Lance Lynn to this point, now watch, he'll get rocked tonight by the Diamondbacks, but to this point, I mean, he has an ERA in the twos and striking out guys at a pretty good, decent rate. I mean, he's someone that 6 or 7 Ks every time he's touched the ball here recently, and I've been encouraged by that. I've been super thrilled with Sonny Gray, and actually got off a pitch count yesterday. Did end up giving up the 2 runs there at the very end there in the 7th inning, I believe, but I think he struck out, 12?
Yeah, 12.
I mean, he was ridiculous. So he's been awesome.
He's always just silently been so good the last 7 years, whether it was with the Reds, he was with the Twins last year and was like a top 3 Cy Young finisher. It feels like Sonny Gray has always just been the most under the radar, really, really good starting pitcher.
It's, I think, just injuries have been the only thing that have held him back too much for the most part. So yeah, I mean, Michael is a dud in my opinion.
You hate to see Michaelis struggle.
Yeah, I know, right? Just it's kind of like Kyle Hendricks struggling. Yeah,
no. I'd take Michaelis over Hendricks right now in a heartbeat. Let's make that trade right now.
No, I'm good. Kyle Gibson, eh. There's some of that still baked into it, but it's just for Cardinals fans, the hearing Mo talk about patience and the, we just know that we're actually kind of fortunate to only be at this position and not even worse given the circumstances of our offense. So when we actually hit, you know, we're feeling optimistic that because the pitching's been there. Cardinals fans are just tired of being in the last place. I'm not saying that I'm packing it in or giving up. It's just been frustrating. And yeah, I mean, getting to three runs has seemed like such an accomplishment, or not an accomplishment, but it seems so hard for the Cardinals just to score three runs in a given game, which is crazy. I was looking at the stats here, Kyle. If you go to the, I know you got the run differential and everything, but runs scored on the year, Cardinals and Cubs have played the same amount of games. They have a flip of the record. Cubs 13-9, Cardinals 9-13. The Cardinals have scored 76 runs. The Cubs have scored 119.
Oh, my goodness.
Imagine that. We're talking about a 22-game sample size, and you guys have scored 42 more runs than us.
I didn't realize it was that bad.
42. Or 43, sorry.
That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If you look down, You look at the two lineups, and I don't think there's much difference in caliber of players that offensively in those lineups.
No, I mean, you guys are having someone like a Michael Busch step up when, you know, Jordan Walker's hitting like 180. So that's a big difference between the two, where maybe that's an X factor type of player, or can you get more out of him on the front end of a young piece that's not super proven at the MLB level. So that's something that is working for the Cubs. It's not working for the Cardinals. Swanson's going here recently.
He hasn't been very good at the plate.
No?
No. He start his first like five games, he was good. Since then, he looks lost.
Nico's going here.
Yeah, he's been great lately, although he started terrible.
Bellinger's
it's been.
What are you guys doing?
Know,
how are you just doing this?
The first 2 weeks of the season, everybody was red hot, and the last like 2 weeks, 75% are ice cold. And Suzuki's hurt now; he's our best hitter. So,
I was gonna say, yeah, Suzuki had been. Didn't he have like a ridiculous spring training? Or
yeah, he was great in the spring. He was one of the leaders in all of the Cactus League in homers.
Mm-hmm. And had a really good year last year, too. Not that he was just a spring training pop-up.
Yeah, August and September last year, I think he was second behind, like, Mookie Betts and OPS in the entire MLB or something crazy like that. And he started the season off great, and then he pulls his oblique run into first, and he's out a month. Just awesome. You lose your best pitcher, your best hitter, and a top two bullpen arm for more than a month to start the year. You love to have that happen in April.
You see that?
Gosh.
You guys have your best hitter, your best pitcher, and a top two bullpen arm, and your lineup, as you just said, is like 75% ice cold, and you scored 43 more runs than my team, and you're in second place, and I'm sitting there watching my team in dead last. So that's why Cardinals fans are upset.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because the Cubs are 13-9, and they should easily be like 16-6 if they could save a game, if Alzolay wasn't the worst closer in the league so far. So I don't even know how they've done it, really, because you look at the numbers and they're piecing a rotation together with young guys. Jordan Wicks and Ben Brown has started some games.
He's looked good.
Javier Assad started the season in the bullpen, and then Steele goes out and he's immediately back in the rotation. And Imanaga's, you know, has been good so far, but he's not really going deep. So, and Hendricks has been horrendous. And their offense, yeah, they've been overall pretty good, but it's only really one guy outside of Suzuki who's now hurt that has numbers that stand up, jump off the page, and that's Busch. And their bullpen's been a disaster, and they're 13-9 and should be better if they didn't blow four saves. So I don't even really know. It's just the council magic that he had in Milwaukee where he just finds a way to win.
That is what they did in Milwaukee, right?
Although they're doing it now without him, so I don't know how the heck they're...
And Yelich is hurt.
Can we just, like, move the Brewers to the NL East or something? Like, I can't deal with them anymore.
No,
how do they do this?
See, that's the thing. There were so many years of the Cardinals, quote-unquote, devil magic. But now, low-key, and it's becoming more obvious, like, the Brewers have something that's just... You can't kill him. Like, they get rid of Hader, they get rid of Burns. Yelich is hurt. Yelich fell off for a while, like was MVP caliber, and then whether it was injury or just lost it for a bit. But now he was having a red hot start to the season before getting injured, and yet they can still go into St. Louis, sweep a series, and they're 14-6. Peralta looks like a
top Cy Young
candidate, yeah. So
they still have a dominant bullpen, even with Williams and Hader not there. Like
yeah, I can't even name an arm in their bullpen, but I know it's good.
Yeah.
But I know it's good. Goodness. Big series coming up for both of our squads. The Cardinals are hosting the D-backs. You can hear that, of course, here on ESPN 93.5. That's a 6:45 first pitch. Lance Lynn, 2.18 ERA against Brandon Pfaadt. He has a 5.32 for the D-backs. D-backs only 11-12, so not off to a stellar start for the NL pennant champs of last year, but they have a really good lineup. Ketel Marte is off to a heck of a start. We know the other names, something like Corbin Carroll, of course, Christian Walker, a bopper there in the middle of that order. So I am holding my breath, and I don't know if I'm doing that. I'm just a little worried that Lance Lynn's going to get beat up a little tonight, and unless the offense wakes up, that is going to be a tough series. On the other side of the rivalry, you've got the Cubs hosting the Astros. Speaking of another good team that's not having a good start, the Astros are 7-16.
I did not know that until they said it on the broadcast, the Cubs broadcast Sunday. I'm like, what?
Wow.
What? Why? Are they hurt? Like, what the heck?
I couldn't tell you. I know that Altuve's off to a good start this year. I don't know who else is really slumping for them. Looks like you guys will catch Verlander on the final game on Thursday. He made his first start back against the Nats, I believe, over the weekend. So he's back in the fold, and we'll see what that looks like. A 309 Royals run differential, plus 38, 108 scored, 70 against. That's crazy. This past weekend, how far these two franchises have come. Not that they haven't had, because they have, prior years of success. The Royals have won World Series, and the Orioles have had their time of being good. But one of the more interesting series of this past weekend was the Royals and the Orioles, which is crazy. If you would have said that, let alone 5 years ago, 2 years ago, you would have looked at me super weird and like, this guy is betting way too many parlays, and he's dabbling into some obscure ways to get interested in sports. But legitimately, you look at the young talent on those two teams. Obviously, the Orioles with Rushman and Henderson, and having Jackson Holliday called up now, and
he's been awful. He's like 3-for-40 or something. But they called up two other prospects who have been great. They have
Westberg.
Jordan Westberg and Colton Cowser have both been outstanding. So it's just like the top prospect in baseball is off to a rough start, but we got four other guys who are great. So that Orioles team is fun as hell.
I was going to say, they're as fun as any team in the league, if not the most fun. And the Royals been a nice surprise so far. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. is the name that everybody knows. Salvador Perez feels like he's 50 years old and still hitting tanks every once in a while. I think he's got 6 on the year or something like that. And they've got good pitching so far. We'll see if it sustains, but they've been a team that has made some noise here recently. Any other notes on the baseball front that of interest? The White Sox almost got no hit here, like, twice recently.
There's a no-hitter going against them through 5 innings every game. You look at the lineup, and there's one guy hitting over 200 that started disgusting yesterday. I saw there was a screenshot going around Twitter that's like, there's no way. How many AAA teams would beat this lineup? And it's 8 guys hitting 160, and then I think Gavin Sheets is the only one who actually has a decent slash line.
That's so bad. You know who also has Milwaukee Brewers vibes? And I haven't watched them at all, so I can't speak too much to what they're doing. But I was going to look who has the best run differential in baseball. And if I give you the hint that they have Brewers vibes, do you have a guess?
Oh, I don't know if I do.
AL Central.
The Guardians.
The Guardians are 16-6, plus 52 in run differential. That's the best in baseball.
I was hoping the Cubs could trade for Class A, but guess that's off the table now.
Is it?
I mean, they're 16-6. Yeah, they're not trading anybody.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You're right. That was a dumb question. Jose Ramirez, Stephen Kwan, They still have Shane Bieber outside of that?
No, he's out for the year.
Okay, they don't have Shane Bieber. Yeah,
Tommy
right.
John.
I can name you three Guardians, and they're 16-6 with a plus 52 run differential. It's still early in baseball, but nice to talk.
They are the AL equivalent of the Brewers. Those two teams are good. They win at least 80 games every year with like four recognizable players. Maybe that might be generous.
Yeah. Click ad here. He says at least Walker makes contact. Gorman strikes out 50% of the time. There is that.
So. Gorman struggling? He kills. Show up for that Cubs series and 11-2 homers.
He's struggling as well. I hope you get to see that. Cardinals tonight, though. Once again, D-backs and Cardinals, 6:45 on this station. You can hear the Cubs tomorrow on the sister station, US 105.9. Thanks to Jeremy Warner joining us on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Thanks to all of you who listened in. I'll talk to you tomorrow. This is The Drive.
And now, Kelsey Briggs, owner of Salon 105 in Mahomet.
We're trying to bring something big to a small area and bring luxury into our small community. It is definitely a dream come true. I knew from a young age that I always wanted to do hair and own a salon, which is why I got a business degree, and it has led me here. And the growth has just been so much faster than I anticipated, but it's been amazing. One thing that really sets us apart as a salon is our team. We have such an amazing atmosphere. Everyone is so respectful to each other, and it's pretty essentially a drama-free zone. We do a lot of team building and hang out with each other outside of work so that we can get to know each other on a personal base, which makes our environment very welcoming to anyone who comes in.
Salon 105, providing friendly, personalized service through a terrific, highly skilled team. To book your appointment, visit salon-105.com. That's salon-105.com.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Illini fans, this year we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Memorial Stadium for the 2024 Fighting Illini football season. Season tickets for the 2024 football season are on sale now, and Illini fans who renew their season tickets by February 1st are eligible to win amazing prizes, memorabilia, and experiences. Secure your season tickets for homecoming, Dad's Day, and a special rededication of Memorial Stadium on October 19th against Michigan. Visit FightingIllini.com for more information.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's just...